talk to me. And so he did. And I still remember the conversation. They said to me, you're going to have to decide right now what type of church you want to have. They said, because if you don't start, if you don't initiate this thing, knowing where you're going and what you want to do, it'll just be a mess. It'll take over. That's how a lot of churches lose their identity, because they have no plan. They don't have strong leadership. They have hirelings rather than pastors. And you are going to be put into the place where you have to find your identity. These girls up here singing, this is your identity. It's you. You young men, you need to rise up, and you have to stand behind Pastor Klein. You have to be here for him every moment you can. Don't make him shovel snow. Don't make him greet people at the door. Don't make Sister Klein be the only one that's trying to clean the church. This is a bold step, and it might be a little nerve-wracking in the beginning, but you will come through it, and it will build character in the church. And the church will begin to take on its own identity, separate from Jefferson. That doesn't mean that we're separate entities. We're always tied together in spirit. Your Wednesday, your midweek service, I know, is changing. So if you want to join us and keep that, you can. We're doing a combined service. I don't know if you've shared that yet or not. Four times a year on the fifth Sundays where you can come. But this is very important that you understand that this is Ashley Beulah's opportunity to take on your identity. And so you have to decide now what kind of church you want to have. If you want to have church, whether you have musicians or singers or not, that will not stop you from having church. That will not stop you. We went many years without musicians, many years. Actually, I don't know, when did Natalie start playing? Were we in the old building? It was probably about a year before he moved, right? It wasn't that long. So we probably went, we built that in 2008, we started. So let's just say 2007. So we went at least 5 years without any music. We did soundtracks. We did anything you could think about, just playing worship songs off of a CD at the end of service. Where we go wrong, where the churches go, everybody is enamored with having good music. That has nothing to do with the move of God. Good music is important. It's very important. It's important. But what good music is those that we have give their very best. That's what makes good music, not just skill. So I wanted to take a moment today to encourage you. You've got to rise up. I know many of you already have. Stand behind them. Stand with them. Create the excitement. Invite people. Do what you can for you to find out who you are as a church. And if you'll do that, you have good leadership. If you do that, you'll be fine. Israel didn't want to follow Moses out. They did not want to. We can spin it any way we want to. All they did was whine and complain. Don't be complainers. Be problem solvers. And if I were you, it's the last thing I'm going to say, Pastor Klein. If I were you all, I'll tell you what I would do. I don't know what service you have for prayer. I don't even care if it's a Sunday. I just march around this sanctuary, and I would claim things. You march around this sanctuary while you're worshiping and claim things and believe God for it, and it will happen. I believe it. And you know how I know it? Because it happened for us. And so it will happen here. Amen. Well, that's all I've got to say. Pastor Klein is going to come, but Sister Klein has a very important announcement for you. I have no clue what it is, but it is important because she sang it.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to take a minute to discuss the addition out next to the women's bathroom. It's been in my office pretty much since I started here, but it really doesn't do much good down there when there's children up here and youth up here and anybody up here that needs it. It's very near and dear to my heart. It's called ABLE Ministries. It stands for Accept, believe, love, and embrace individuals and families impacted by disability. I always get emotional when I talk about it because it's very special. It's very important. And I'm going to tell you what it is and why we are going to embrace it here and why it's moved up here. ABLE Ministries is a program of the Ladies Ministries Division of the United Pentecostal Church International, which is what we belong to. It's dedicated to assisting special needs and disabled populations within the church and the community. We are inviting anybody here to this church. We want everybody in our community in this church, regardless of anything that they're going through. So we want to be here for families that's children might have special needs. We want to be here for our entire community. So that being said, it has moved up here. I just ask, it is available to anybody that needs to use it. I have used my own personal funds, donations from Sister Carol, donations from others, and some of the church's funds to put the stuff out there. So I just ask that if you use it, there's headphones for noise, because sometimes it's a little noisy in a sanctuary for people that have spectrum disorders. I just ask that you, if you use anything off that cart, that you just return it after service. That way I can sanitize it and have everything ready for the next service. That's it. I just wanted to let everybody know that that's available and that we welcome everybody here at this church. We want everybody to be a part of our church family here.
Amen. You can be seated this afternoon. I told my wife, I was like, it's not, the children are dismissed at this time, yes. I told my wife that it's not very often that she gets to introduce me as the speaker, and she's like, I'm not going to say anything. I said, well, just be honest and say, I'd like you guys to put your hands together for my fourth favorite preacher. And she wasn't willing to say that, so I have a few announcements that I want to make as well. But I do want to say, in terms of multi, whatever the word, like the ABLE ministry that she is involved in, I saw at the church that we just left in Warren, we watched a man that came in that was deaf, and we had sign language already in place for that gentleman. He came to our church. He drove from, I think it was West Middlesex, PA, to Warren. He was 80 years old. He came to be baptized in Jesus' name. We baptized him in Jesus' name. He was deaf. He had been deaf his whole life. He could barely make any sort of audible noises. He could kind of grunt and point at things, but he was very fluent in sign language. And just like everybody else, we believe in the apostolic plan of salvation that you must repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's a man that's essentially mute. How is he going to speak in tongues? With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We began to minister to him. He moved up to the front. We had the young lady sit right in front of him and would sign to him the services. He was extremely faithful. He found out about a hearing-impaired conference that was being preached in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And the church made it so it was possible for him to go to this conference. And if I looked through it, I don't have it readily available. I still have the video. God loosed his tongue in the service, and he spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And as soon as he was done, he couldn't speak. God knows what he's doing. God desires to minister to our community, but he's not going to do it over what we are willing to do. If we will create an atmosphere, I told my wife yesterday, our job is to prepare the soil. Because if the soil is right, things can grow. If it's not, they can't. God hasn't put us in charge of the increase. He still keeps that to himself. But if we'll plant and water and cultivate, God will allow us to grow. Speaking of that, our first service at 10:30 will be February the 8th. That's 3 weeks from today. We will be on our own starting February the 8th. When I say that, I can feel a, when I think it should feel a, I'm excited about it. I want, and I've laid this out in Bible study, my goal for our first service is 60 people. I would like to see 60 people in attendance. It is not difficult at all. Over the past week, and just utilizing social media the way that I do, and I know people don't like it, we have raised the viewership on our church page by over 300%. 300%. There are people in Ashtabula right now watching our service, and they're from all different walks of life. There's many denominational pastors that pastor denominational churches in Ashtabula that are watching our service right now. There are Baptist pastors. There are Presbyterian pastors that watch our services. They are interested in what we're about to do, and I am as well. I want the church, and I'm going to minister to you a little bit, but I want you to get involved with what we're doing. It's fantastic to stand and worship and hear somebody singing, and I'm like, who is that? And open my eyes on one of the songs that I love and see that it's our own sister Izzy singing lead on the song this afternoon. I don't know if you know that she's trying to hide. She just turned 16 this week, and she's being used of God in this place. Okay, I said enough about that. This upcoming Sunday, a week from today, I want everyone's attention on this. This is very important to me. Will be our first link group of the year. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know where you're going? Do you know what link group you belong to? Have you been invited? Do you know who your host is? Do you know what time it starts? This is not something that we can wait until next week at 4 o'clock and figure out. Do you know who you need to talk to about it? For those of you that don't know, link group is just fellowship once a month, getting together outside of the church building in small groups to just connect with one another on a human level. There are three different link groups that I know of currently in this church. Do me a favor, please. I know you don't want to be put on the spot. If you have not spoken to a host of a link group and you do not know where you are supposed to go next week, I want you to know by the end of today who you're supposed to talk to and where you're supposed to go. I am hosting a link group at my home with my wife. Sister Darlene will be hosting a link group. Sister Kim and Sister Angel, I believe, are hosting a link group. There are three hosts there. It's basically supposed to be determined by location, but I'm not going to be a taskmaster over that. Amber was going to come to our link group, but when she found out that we weren't going to have any young children, it made more sense for her to go to a link group so RJ could have fellowship as well with another young person. I believe and support that 100%. Trust me, our link group doesn't have any young people. And we're doing it early so we can go to sleep, because that's what's important. So please, in all seriousness, today, speak with one of these hosts and let's get it organized so that everybody can be ministered to. The point is this: when we begin to grow, other link groups are going to need to grow. And people are going to need to be able to know where they are supposed to go. So please do that. Two more quick announcements that I want to minister. This upcoming Saturday, which is January the 24th, there's a flyer out here for this, but I want to show it to you. We will be having what we have called our grief ministry at 10:30. This is designed for a monthly gathering for those that are dealing with grief. Listen, I know this isn't something that everybody wants to brag about, but it is one of the most necessary ministries a church can ever offer. I've seen it change people's trajectory. If you are dealing with grief of loss of a loved one, of a loss of a spouse, of a loss of a job, of the loss of your salvation, if you are dealing with those emotions, I want you to see either Sister Darlene or Sister June Ruth, who have championed this, and they have my undivided 100% enthusiastic support. I had a lady approach me in Jefferson this morning with the flyer in her hand who has lost her son. And she said, am I allowed to go to this? And I said, absolutely, you're allowed to go to this. So they're going to make connection. Please, there's no reason to come to a church that has what you need and leave without it. Take advantage of this. In addition to that, on January the 24th at noon, and I want everybody to listen to this as well, we will be having a worship practice with Pastor Tyler here at the church. This isn't just for our singers. This isn't just for musicians. This is for everybody involved. So our multimedia team, anybody that helps with sound, anybody that thinks they might be involved in worship, anybody that signed the worship team poster board at our meeting, plan on being here this Saturday at noon for a meeting with Pastor Tyler. He's going to go over a lot of different things. When we launch, we most likely will not have musicians, so we will be utilizing soundtracks run through the system. We need everyone to be on the same page as to how that works, how we can move seamlessly through the service. So please, you have to come with two things. I want you to come with energy, and I want you to come with patience. We're going to be here. We're working through some things. So please, we need everybody that's involved to come January the 24th at noon. Okay, that's all of the announcements that I have for today. I want to talk to you about something this afternoon that I think is very important. I don't plan on it being a loud message. I plan on it being more of a teaching message, but I do plan on speaking to you, and I'm hoping that by the end, we can get to a place where we can see a demonstration of the move of God. If you have your Bibles and would turn with me, I'm going to take you to one passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 12. You can stand for the reading of the word. I'm only going to read one verse, and then you can be seated. I appreciate your respect for the word of God. I give honor to Pastor Arderi and Sister Arderi for this opportunity. I am excited. I'm extremely excited. I was reached out to by dozens of people from the community this week asking the things that we can do. We went and met with the Dream Center. We will be working hand in hand with them, and I could not be more excited about that. Our clothing ministry, our closet, our modesty closet will be up and running very quickly. The donations are becoming overwhelming. I'm driving to Trumbull County tomorrow and have to probably take two cars for the donations that we are receiving. So just continue to remember that, pray about it, and promote it as much as you can, and let's have a move of God in the house. I'm going to read one verse. It is up on the screens. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along with me. But Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I want to read that one more time. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If I was to put a title on this thought this afternoon, I want to speak to you for a few short moments on this thought. Transformed by renewing. Transformed by renewing. You can be seated in Jesus' name. I'm going to start off right with a bang, so get ready. I hope you're ready to go. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want the remainder of this message for you to internalize it. I don't want you to amen when you think that I'm making a very good point to the person that's sitting next to you. I don't want you to get with me when you're raking it in and thinking that I'm talking about the person sitting in front of you or behind you. I want you to make this message personal. Transformed by renewing. I have a question that I want to start off with. Are you happy with the current spiritual situation involving you and your loved ones and your family? Where you sit this afternoon, right now, on the 18th day of January of 2026, are you happy with the current spiritual situation involving you and your loved ones and your family? Only you can answer that. How many of you today, if I was to ask by a showing of hands, would say that you are a Christian? That's almost 100%, and there's a couple other people that I think just don't either want to raise their hands or they don't know what a Christian is. I have a couple other questions, and I told you we're going to get started right off the bat. How are you personally, not how are you doing spiritually? I'm not talking about how's your health. I'm not talking about how's your New Year's resolution. I'm asking you specifically to begin to examine yourself. How are you doing spiritually? Now, because I'm a numbers guy, I'm going to add on to that question. If you were to rank your walk with God on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being non-existent and 10 being you're so close to God that you're expecting a chariot of fire to come down and pick you up and take you to heaven, today, what number are you? I have several questions. When's the last time you were moved to tears by a worship song? When's the last time someone gave a testimony, whether it was in a service, whether it was in Bible study, whether you overheard it watching a YouTube video, and someone began to testify of the things that God had done for them, and it moved you spiritually to tears? When's the last time during the spoken word of God, the Spirit of the Lord moved on you and moved you to tears? When's the last time in an altar service, as you begin to pray and you begin to meditate upon the Lord, the Spirit of God overwhelmed you so much that you were moved to tears? Now, I can feel it already, and I know this because I've been around church my entire life. People love to draw back when you begin to talk about things, and they begin to say things like this: "You don't understand, Pastor, I'm not just an emotional person." That's a lie from the pits of hell. When your first grandbaby popped out, you didn't look at it and say, "All right, thanks for doing that." I've watched enough TV to see that when Publishers Clearinghouse comes to your door and you're non-emotional and they knock on your door with that big check that says you have just won $10,000 a week every week for the rest of your life, all of the people that say, "I don't get emotional," I'm sure you answer the door and you're like, "All right, cool." We're selective with our emotions, and many times when we're struggling spiritually, one of the red flags is your emotions seem to take a step back in your walk with God. Every so often, the book of Revelation says that when we make it to heaven, He's going to dry every tear from our eyes. There will be no tears in heaven. But there should be tears oftentimes on the face of the earth. And they're not always tears of sadness. They're not always tears of anger. Sometimes they're tears of joy and tears of love. But I'm asking you, when's the last time this is going to get deep pretty quickly, and it's not going to take very long. Question number 3, how comfortable are you with being viewed as the Christian in your home? How comfortable are you being vocal about your salvation with your friends and family? Listen, I get this. I understand this. I worked a public job for 25 years. I worked at General Motors. I worked on the assembly line for 12 years as a member of the United Auto Workers, and then I went into management and went to the dark side. I forgot all the working people. I forgot all the poor people, and I went and became one of those rich, white-collar men when all my buddies that I had just worked with last week on the line told me, you gave in and became rich, and I literally got like a quarter an hour more. But somehow I had gone to the dark side. All I did was I got just enough to move me into another tax bracket. But I worked a public job unsaved. And I kept that job after I received the Holy Ghost. My wife and I were married unsaved. And then received salvation after we were already married. What I'm saying is, I know what it's like to suddenly overnight become the Christian. And I know what it's like to feel the uneasiness about being the Christian at work or the Christian on your bowling league, or the Christian in your office, or the Christian in your home. So I'm asking you, how comfortable are you being viewed as the Christian? How comfortable are you with being vocal about your salvation with your family? And then this is the last one, and I think this one is going to speak to a lot of members here in Ashtabula. Do you find yourself talking more about your walk with God in the past tense than you do with what you're doing right now? In your daily conversations, whether it's with your family that is lost or whether it's your family that is saved, whether it's your church brothers and sisters, whether it's people that you go shopping with, whoever it is throughout your day or your week that you conversate with and you fellowship with, when you begin to talk about your walk with God, is your conversation always focused on the past tense? This is what I used to do. You don't understand. I used to do this. I was this. We were that. Or is your focus more on what you're doing now? Or even is your focus on where you're going in your walk with God? Or is everything behind you? I want you to contemplate those questions along with the question that I asked first as we move through the rest of this message. I'm going to read the scripture that we started with again. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I want to emphasize and I want to kind of define those words for you. If I was to say, what is the definition of conformed, as the scripture says, to not be conformed, what would be your definition of the word conformed? Because the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. What does conformed mean? Anybody? Keep talking. Go ahead, shout some things out. Everybody wants to talk while the preacher's preaching until he asks you a question about the message, and then everyone goes silent. Speak. Very good. Very good. Sister Darlene said to change and go along with what everybody else does. Here's what the textbook essential definition is. Conform means to comply or obey, to be similar, to fit in, to be accepted. Some synonyms or words that mean exactly the same are to follow, yield to, or obey. So the scripture in Romans says, do not obey the world. Do not fit in the world. Do not be similar to the world. Do not yield to the world. And I know when a pastor begins to preach that, everybody that has to leave this building and go act back out into the world. How many of you work a public job? I understand. I get it. It's a lot easier to live for God inside the four walls than the reality of walking back into your workplace where you feel you're the only one. But this is what the scripture says. It says, be not conformed to this world. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to obey any laws. That doesn't mean that we have to be some sort of person that lives on the fringe. There are things in society that we're required to do. Because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you can drive as fast as you want and just trust God. Because here's not what's going to stand up in court. When you go 90 and a 30 and the cop pulls you over and writes you a ticket and you pray about it, you're still paying a fine. You're still losing your license. Well, I'm going to believe God. You're going to believe God in jail. Okay? If you want to test God, if you're that kind of person, because you're a Christian, and you decide, hey, I'm going to leave the church this afternoon, I'm going to walk to the end of Shepherd Road, and I'm going to stand on the railroad tracks and wait for a train to come, and I'm going to stand there in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to stop the train. In a couple days, I am going to preach your funeral in this church because the train is going to run you over. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is spiritually, if you are a child of God, you do not have to comply with what the world tells you you have to believe. The Bible says for us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So first of all, I don't want us to be conformed. But then the scripture goes on. It doesn't stay there. It says, but be ye transformed. Okay? I don't want Sister Darlene to answer this one. She already answered one. Give me the definition of transformed. I'm looking for one word. Say it loud. Changed. Changed. Change. Anybody young enough to watch, did you watch the cartoon Transformers? Did any of you watch the movie Transformers? There's like 44 of them where there's a car driving down the street and then all of a sudden something happens and all of a sudden it's a robot. It's the, what is the Autobots and the Decepticons? See, you think I'm ignorant. I'm a very intelligent person. But transformed means to change. Why was that the biggest response that I got the whole message so far? It means to change, to have changed completely in form, appearance, nature, or condition. And this is the part of the definition I really like. Often becoming much better. Does anybody else like to see people do well? I don't watch TV as much as I used to. I used to watch more TV. But when I was a little bit younger, now Katie and I were married at the time. One of my favorite shows, and I know before I say it, relax, I'm saying it on a level just emotionally. One of my favorite TV shows was The Biggest Loser. Anybody know that show? I loved watching people transform their lives. Now, I know already someone's going to meet me after, be like, all those people gain their weight back, and that's actually not the hell. I get all that. I know. I'm not debating the show. What I would love to see is at the end of the show every week, they would weigh in. And if it had been 15 weeks in, these people would come in, they would weigh 450 pounds, and they would get down to 190 pounds. And what they would show is they would show them currently weighing in on the scale, and they would do it dramatic for TV. They'd go beep, 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 beep to see how much they lost. But they would split the screen, and they would show what they looked like the day they walked on the ranch. And then they would show them now. And I'm not joking. I asked you about being moved to tears. There was times in that show I would cry for those people. Not sadness, happiness. To see them transforming their lives. Anybody ever seen somebody come back from something? Is it just, am I the only one that watches commercials for Tunnels to Towers and weeps when you see men that went and fought and women that fought for our country and had their limbs blown off and they give them these smart houses and you see them struggling to get up onto their artificial legs and taking steps? That's transformation. That's change. They've seen something and they make a change. Anybody ever seen a kid that struggles in school? And you work with them and they go through the, I mean, it's not easy. It's a difficult road. But you may have a child that had very, very poor grades. And they buckle down and they put in the effort. And they come home with that report card that they're so proud of. Does anybody else, does that get to you emotionally? It does with me. I'm a big crybaby. I love the underdog story. I love to see someone against all odds do what needs to be done and come out on the other end. Well, the scripture says to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how many times have you heard me in the last year talk about what needs to change is the mindset? The way we think. We've got to change the way we think. The scripture says you can transform your life by renewing your mind. Now, I'm going to blow your mind with this. I'm going to teach you a grammar lesson that you may have never heard before. Okay, Brother Dan, you're out. Sister Darlene, you're out. All right, here's the last chance for you to get a star on your paper. Someone give me the definition of renew. Give me another word. Go ahead, yell it louder. I'm deaf. Say it loud. Now you're embarrassed because you're on the... Change is transformed. Now change is renewing. There you go. There you go. Making something new, fresh, or strong again. Anybody ever heard this word? Restoring. That's why I didn't want Brother Dan to be allowed to answer, because Brother Dan likes classic cars, and a lot of times you find them in one condition, and you renew them to another condition. But the Bible says to renew. Now, I'm going to break it down so you never forget the word renew again. Does everybody know what the word re means? When you see re at the beginning of a word, it's a prefix that means what? Again. I want you to break the word down into a compound word. I want you to renew. I want you to renew. I want you to make it new again. Do you realize that you can do this? Now, take the spiritual aspect out of it. Let me tell you something, and I'm not the greatest to preach on this topic, but I am great enough to understand that I've done this myself. If you are a person today that is having marital problems, you are married, you have not gotten divorced, you are trying to work your way through it, but you have marital issues, you can renew your marriage. Now, I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to give you some tips, and I'm not speaking from a lack of experience, because if you ever sit down and let me give you my testimony about my married life, it wasn't always up on the mountain and not coming down. We've been through some valleys together. Here's what you do. You renew. Do you remember the first time you guys went on a date? I was telling Sister Carter about it today. We were driving to church. And for those of you that don't know, listen, you're going to learn something about me today. My wife and I met at a restaurant. We both worked at the restaurant. The restaurant was called Cracker Barrel. I should sue them for damages for having introduced my wife and I to each other. I would win. Here's what you don't know. Sister Katie, you know, the one that married down, the one that had sympathy, the one that you say, she looks nice and you kind of are. Sister Carter, today we showed her a picture of Shrek so that she would know what everybody was talking about. And she said, well, you kind of do have the same head. Okay? I'm trying to get to a point. Sister Katie asked Brother Mike out. Yeah, give me an amen. Somebody claim it. March around. Claim. Sister Katie asked Brother Mike out. Brother Mike didn't ask Sister Katie out. Sister Katie asked me out. She didn't have a ride to a party. So I want to be honest. But this is what I'm saying. When Sister Katie and I began to date, there was nothing off limits. I would do anything. I was smitten. She was a waitress. I would go in. I would work all day long. I would work 12 hours in the kitchen. I had to go in at 4 in the morning. I made the biscuits. I started the roux. I did everything. I ordered all the food. I would get off at 2 o'clock, and she worked evenings because she was a waitress, and they were obviously busier for dinner so she could make more in tips. I would go home. I would shower, and this is before we really were like an item. We just kind of liked each other, and she had other guys that liked her. I kind of just had one shot. Like, I didn't have a lot of I didn't have a bunch of women knocking my door down, so I had to really go after it. So I would go home. I'd get all dressed up, and I'd go back, and I'd sit at her table, and I would order a hot fudge sundae. Cracker Barrel has very good hot fudge sundaes, just to conversate with her. And I would leave her $30, $40, $50 tips. I didn't know if she liked me or not. She liked the money. Listen to me. We started to date. I took into account everything that she ever said. You ask her, she'll say, Mike has a photographic memory. I can tell you where we went on dates. I can tell you what she ordered. I can tell you the day it was. She started to like certain songs. So my parents were in church, and we had church on Saturday nights. So I knew that they would be at church, and we would have time. I still lived at home. I remember one night she was working, but she was getting off around 7 o'clock Saturday evening. I decorated my whole bedroom. We're unsaved, so relax. And I called it the Katie Appreciation Dance. I took every, now back then you didn't have pictures on your phones, you had actual pictures. We're old people. I cut them out. I made a mixtape. You young people don't have any idea what that is. I had poster boards all over my room. And when she walked in, I said, the whole night is about you because I appreciate you. Now listen, I'm letting you in on a couple of things because you guys all think that I'm some ogre that I am now. But listen to what I'm saying. 25 years in, we're married, we have two children, we're struggling with life, we've had job loss, we've lost family members, life has caught up to us. And we find ourselves in a really not good place. Do you know what we decided to do? We decided to renew. The things that we did when it was new, we did them again. We forced ourselves to start going on dates and turning our phones off and talking about, man, you look pretty. And she would be like, and you are nice. We were saved now, so we can't lie. So she had to be on. You are a good provider. Like, she couldn't be like, you're as good looking as you were when it, because that ship sailed. We would tell our kids, listen, tonight ain't about you. We've gone to every track meet. We've gone to every cross-country meet. We've gone to every choir concert at your school and physically sat through the pain of listening to you guys sing. Don't lie. All you parents are great. That was great. You've been in the same concerts I've been in where you're like, oh, my Lord. They should fail, and that teacher should be incarcerated. But it's not about you tonight. Mom and dad need to renew. Some of us have walked with God for so long. Some of us have been in relationship with the Lord for so long. We need an appreciation dance. We need a trip down memory lane. And we need to renew our relationship. I'm not calling you lost by any means. I'm not saying that if the trumpet sounded, you're not going to heaven. I'm not here to say that at all. I'm here to say you answered the questions I asked at the beginning. You know yourself spiritually this afternoon on this date that you are nowhere close spiritually to where you want to be with God. You've kind of just accepted it that this is the way things are. And I've got a preacher standing before you telling you, do not conform to this world. Do not accept it as the new normal. Do not become complacent just because everybody else says, that's not a big deal anymore. You know deep down in your soul that you are not where you want to be spiritually. And I'm here to tell you today, it's time to transform. It's time to change by renewing your mind. God desires a relationship with you. He's not doing all the work. Now, I told you some funny stories about me, but there's a couple on her side of things that she did just as sweet and just as romantic. And when push came to shove, nothing else mattered. When I woke up after being married for 20 years and had to look in the mirror and realize I could lose my family. I could lose my marriage. My wife could take our children because we were in a rocky place. Being right, being thought of well by my brothers, being popular, being the employee of the year, none of that really mattered when I was on the verge of not having the relationship that I truly always wanted. So I had to make a choice to say, you know what? Not anymore. Not anymore. I had to say things like this. I had to walk into my in-law's house. Again, come to me privately and I can tell you some of the things that transpired through our life. And I had to sit down with my mother-in-law and I had to look her in the eye and I had to say, I beg your forgiveness. And she said, you haven't really done anything. I said, please, just forgive me. Because the relationship was more important than anything else. I've had to do it in my walk with God. I've had to renew our relationship because when I first got into the church, let me tell you something, I have the same testimony that you have. When I first got saved, nothing else mattered. I wanted to have church every night of the week. I didn't care what song they sang. I didn't care what they preached. I didn't care about how long church went. I didn't care about the temperature. I didn't care about the comfort of the pews. I didn't care about anything. I just wanted to be in the church. I loved everybody. I wanted to hug everybody. I wanted to hang around church for 3 hours after and talk to everybody. I wanted to ride on the church van. I wanted to go to every picnic. I wanted to do every outreach, and I have the same testimony that you had. But now I'm 25 years in. Anybody in here married more than 20 years? Anybody? All right. Some people have their hands up that are married 20 years and they're by their spouse. So you are excused from the next questions. Those of you that raised your hand and you're not near your spouse or your spouse isn't here, this question is more for you to be able to answer publicly. Did your spouse ever get on your nerves? Are you ever just sitting there watching the news? Or just sitting there and sitting across the kitchen table, and you look across the table and you're like, what did I see in that? Because life has a way of doing that. Sometimes in our walk with God, we walk into the church. We haven't been unfaithful. We've been faithful. We've done everything that was asked of us to do. But you know, deep down, you just don't feel it like you used to. It's become a job. It's become a burden. It's become a chore. There's many times I'll tell Katie and she gets upset with me. She's like, you're kind of needy for a man. And I'll say, she'll say, real late at night, she'll be like, you want to go get an ice cream? And it's 9:30. And I'll be like, I am not going to be your last chore of the day. And she'll be like, well, fine, I'm going to get ice cream by myself then. Sometimes in living for God, we need to renew. I went to a pastor one time for counsel. I was really struggling. And you go to pastors because you think pastors are going to be able to give you this revelation. They're going to speak a word. Everybody's looking for a word nowadays. I want a word. I'm reading a book. I've read it through. I'm reading it again because it's so powerful. If you're looking for a word, I'm going to tell you, 99% of the time, don't come to me because I'm not going to give it to you. I'm reading a book called Thus Saith the Lord about a bunch of charlatans that give words and destroy people's lives. But I went to this pastor, and I was really struggling. I said, man, you got to help me out. He said, I can see your spirit's jacked up. He said, when's the last time you prayed through? And I was like, well, that's a dump. He's like, have you prayed through lately? Now, I know pastors that preach that you should pray through every day. I'm not him, but I would never say that it would bother you. Let me ask you, when's the last time you prayed through? I'll wait for a little bit. When's the last time you felt the Shekinah glory of God? When's the last time your bedroom was transformed into the oracle of God, where you were in prayer so deep that the Spirit of God descended into your house and you could feel the presence of God? When's the last time that in prayer the Spirit was so strong that it made intercession for you? It's time to renew. It's time to renew. Now, don't come to me a bunch of requests after service. I think after your message, me and my husband need to renew our vows. Those are few and far between. But I am going to ask you to do something. I'm almost done. Give me 5 minutes. Let me read it how I wrote it. Your family, your coworkers, your friends that consider you the Christian need you to get your passion back. They need a voice in their lives that can passionately minister to them. They need you to get your fire back. I want you to recommit. I want you to renew. 2 Timothy 1 and 6 says this, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." So we're going to do something, and I want to do it quickly for sake of time. And I know this is going to get everybody in the church out of their comfort zone. If they want to come back to the music, they can. If they don't, they don't need to, because we don't need music. But I do realize that people respond better when there is. I'm an old school preacher. We were driving to the church today, and my wife leaned over and she goes, "I always forget that Pastor Arderi knows the older songs, because he sang one in service this morning." And I'm like, "Yeah, we know the good music." She's like, "Well, Pastor Arderi began to sing an old song as he was preaching today." I'm old school preacher. I'm old school. I was apostolic before it was cool. I was Pentecostal when it wasn't cool, before the websites, before Instagram. And I can remember sometimes in church, when the church was struggling and the church was up against something and preachers didn't have the vocabulary and they didn't have the education and they couldn't necessarily say things the right day, but the one thing they knew how to do was they knew how to pray. And I can remember the services where they would stop what they were doing and they would say, "We're going to come and we're going to lay hands on people." I just felt it. I'm going to ask you today. I know several of you have paid attention to this message more so than you do most of my messages. I've watched as your eye contact with me has been very good, because what I'm saying is speaking directly to your soul. So I'm going to ask you a point blank question. Do you want to renew today? Do you want your spirit tomorrow morning when you wake up to be something that's looking forward to what God's doing, or do you want to continue to live in your spiritual past? Do you still want to give testimonies of what you used to do for God 5 years ago and where you used to live for God 7 years ago? Or do you want to wake up tomorrow with a renewed spirit, a renewed mindset, that God is still with me and my best days are ahead? Because I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it. I want to have a prayer line. I want some of the members of this church to get their breakthrough today. I want some of our other members to decide today that people are going to come to the front and ask God for prayer, and we are going to lay hands on people, and God is going to transform lives in this building today. Now, I can feel it. I can feel it. Let me speak to you right now. Let me speak directly to you right now. You want with everything in you. You can feel it on the back of your neck. You can feel the hair on your arm standing up, because you want with everything in you to be up around this altar, having the ministry and the laity lay hands on you, because you know it's exactly what you need, but you don't want to be first. I want you to renew.
I want you to quit caring and conforming to what the spiritual world is telling you. I want you to get out of your own mind that we have to do things in a form and a fashion. I'm not saying that we go willy-nilly every service, but every so often the Spirit of God wants to minister, and He wants someone to say, "Here am I, Lord." So I'm done preaching. If there's nobody that wants to respond, then we can dismiss and we can go home. But I'm telling you, you do not have to be in the spiritual blahs any longer. You do not have to be in a relationship with God that you don't feel Him anymore. You do not have to just come to church because it's what you do. You do not have to feel just the burden of living for God and never experience His presence. But what you need to do is you need to choose today that I am going to renew. I'm going to transform my life by renewing. I'm ready to pray. The answer's not in my hands. There's no secret power in my touch. There's no secret power in anybody laying hands on people. It's not in the length of the prayer. It's not in the power of the oil. It's in your heart being in tune with the Spirit of God and you saying, "God, I need You." Is there anybody that wants to pray? Is there anybody that wants to pray? Brother Greg, if you can't make it, we'll come pray with you in your seat. Is there anybody as I was ministering that you feel like you know your brothers and sisters are struggling? You can see it all over your faces. The church needs to come together. The church needs to lay hands on one another. The presbytery needs to start laying our hands on one another and renewing our relationships with God. I'm telling you, some of your families need you. Your families, your children need you. Your spouses need you. Your work needs you to be the Christian that God has called you to be. And today is a great day to renew that relationship. I thank you for your attention. I thank you for your response. As they begin to play, if they're going to sing, I'm not concerned about the song. Concerned about us connecting with God. If you need prayer, I want you to raise your hands. If you don't need prayer and are willing to pray with people, I want you to see somebody with their hands raised and go over and minister to them. I want you to physically lay your hands on them, and I want you to pray that God intervenes with them, that God's Spirit moves upon them, and I want us to have a renewal in this church this afternoon. Yeah.
Those that are praying, just continue to pray. Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Thank you for your response. I believe God has spoken to several hearts this afternoon. He has not forsaken us. He has not forgotten us. He just wants a renewal. He wants that fire to be burning bright deep down inside each and every one of us. We're going somewhere. Tomorrow's going to be better than today. Our best days as a church are ahead of us, and I'm excited for where God's leading us. I appreciate your attention. I appreciate your response. Let's remember the announcements. Let's just put our shoulder to the wheel and see what our spirit and God's spirit combined can do in Ashtabula. Amen. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer right now. Lord Jesus, appreciative of you today, God. Thank you, Lord, for showing up in a mighty way. God, it's all because of you. You've blessed us beyond measure, Lord. We stand here a blessed people, a holy people, Lord, a sanctified people because of who you are. God, we ask you just to allow this feeling, Lord, this feeling of your spirit, Lord, this feeling of renewal, this feeling of transformation to go with us as we leave this place, Lord. Let it just stay strong inside of us and sprout up, Lord, and bear much seed, and we will give you all the praise and glory and all of the honor due unto your name. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Take a few moments, shake hands, be friendly, love on one another. We'll see you back at the next time. Have a great Sunday, everybody. You are dismissed at this time.